Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Keith, you ready to trade some of these bums out of the wide receiver room?
Let's trade them. Let's trade them. I'm so ready.
If these guys were just a fraction of as good as they think they are, this team would be cooking with gas. This team would be one of the five best offenses in the league.
They'd have at least two wins.
They'd have a couple wins and maybe a couple more touchdowns.
I watched one game of KJ Osborne. I'm like, I'm so out on this guy.
I was out from Jump Street. This is not revisionist history. I did not like that. I was like, what is this? Like, this is the signing? Like, you wanted a true number one. And they're like, we got KJ Osborne. You're like, wasn't he the three or four in Minnesota?
Yep.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do not want KJ Osborne. I never wanted KJ Osborne, and now it sounds like KJ Osborne doesn't want to be here.
Yeah, I would say that's a pretty safe assumption based on how things have gone over the last 24 hours. We talked about it at the tail end of Jones and Keefe yesterday here on WEEI. A lot of ways you can get in touch with the program today. You can dial us up, 617-779-7937. You can text the show at 37937 on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can watch along on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. You can also chat there. Lively chat, as always. And on YouTube, just subscribe to WEEI. So that was Mike Giardi last night on Boston Sports Tonight, NBC Sports Boston. Or I'm sorry, it might have been early edition. He was on NBC Sports Boston. And he said he and Chris Mason spoke with KJ Osborne. And I didn't realize this. It was interesting to hear Giardi tell the full story there. I didn't realize just the two of them were talking to Osborne.
Yep.
And he says, they asked, do you want to be traded? He laughs, and he says, that's like an alley-oop. More laughing.
Throw it down, big fella.
Yeah, more laughing, later adding, so today I'm here. You know, now it's kind of rock with it as it goes. I guess later on, and this is what Giardi just detailed, and I saw these comments later, which confused me. Later on, a bigger group, which happens sometimes in a locker room, Keith, you've been in there, you know, kind of one-on-one is happening over here, and all of a sudden, like, a big herd starts
talking around. Let me steal some quotes.
And so, I guess after he had talked for a while, he gets asked whether or not he wants to be in New England. He's like, yeah, well, of course. After he had let the cat out of the bag.
I think the truth usually, like with Gerard Mayo, usually the truth is the first thing you say, and then you're like, no, that's actually not what I meant because I don't want to get in trouble.
So look, it's KJ Osborne who really cares at the end of the day.
Nobody.
Similar to Jalen Reagor and Tyquan Thornton, and even to a degree, you know, Javon Baker, Kayshon Booty had some comments yesterday. It's just, it underscores another challenge for Gerard Mayo and just the lawlessness on this team. They were teetering on a mutiny, said Evan Lazar, and people freaked out, and he doesn't know what he's talking
scrubbed
about.
Scrubbed it from the internet.
Internet, in-house report, and like everything with this team that's happened on the field, in the locker room, has borne that out. It's a full-blown mutiny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a mess. Every single receiver has had some part of it as well, which is amazing.
It is.
And a couple of guys, like Kendrick Bourne, hasn't done anything wrong. Like, Kendrick Bourne hasn't called out the coaching staff, right? Kendrick Bourne hasn't done anything. He did have the comment last week, which is what got us down that road of what were they eating in London. He was the one that sort of started that and told, you know, guys should be in bed earlier or, you know, not up all night, that kind of thing. So he at least put it out there, and you know, there's some more questions, but you're like, all right, Kayshon Booty hasn't done much. You know, he had the line yesterday that the two deep balls he had to ask for, which is crazy because he hasn't dropped a pass all season. So those two are like, okay, it's something, but you put it to the side. Everybody else has gone to Instagram, has gone to a reporter, has gone to Twitter, has done something to complain about their role on the team, how good they are, and how they're not being utilized to the best of their abilities. That's everybody else. And it's insane because across the board, these guys, with the exception of Kendrick Bourne, haven't accomplished anything in the league. You have two rookies, you got a couple of second-year guys, and then a third-year guy.
Is that fair about Osborne's accomplished something in the league? No.
Oh, he's played in the league. That's fair. Yeah, he's not a first or second year guy.
Yeah.
Or even third year guy. Like,
I mean, he's not very good, but he's at least a professional receiver.
Why do they have all these guys? They have way too many of them.
Don't know.
So they, I could see being annoyed, being like, why are we, you know, fighting for five? None of them are that good, but they have them all on the roster because some of them are high picks. So they didn't want to cut Tyquan Thornton. They obviously just drafted Polk and Baker. Pop Douglas deserves to be on the team.
Mm-hmm.
So does Bourne. I don't know about Osborne. Booty's actually making a couple of plays on the field. But, like, what a mess. Like, what is that, six guys? Like, that's, it's too many.
And that's just in the receiver room.
Just the receiver.
Six guys popping off. Never mind the rest of the team.
Yeah.
You mentioned the Booty comments. Here's what he had. Another thing Mayo's got to deal with. Kayshon Booty says he's had to ask for both the deep shots he was targeted on the last 2 weeks. Had to ask for them. Which he notes shouldn't have to happen, given that he hasn't dropped a pass all year. So it's like, wow.
Yeah.
So he's taking shots at.
He also has eight catches.
Yeah.
So he hasn't dropped a pass.
Well, he's caught all eight.
No, he's been targeted 10 times. So obviously the other two weren't drops or catchable or whatever else it was. But so is that, you know, thinking about that again, is that, hey, Alex Van Pelt put me in a position to run these routes? Is that, hey, Drake May, like, I'm open, throw me the ball? What is that?
I think it's interesting. Like, KJ Osborne wants out. You saw that from his social media last week, and he obviously sense of self.
Because apparently KJ Osborne was going to be a scratch in the London game. He wasn't a scratch. He ended up playing. Maybe he kind of mentally checked himself out, but he ended up playing or being active. And then because Pop Douglas had the trots, he ended up playing even more.
Yep.
And he scored a touchdown.
Uh-huh.
And now he's still pissed off. Well, he got the end zone.
I love that the thing he posted the other week from his buddy or whatever. It wasn't his agent.
Yeah,
it was reported
player.
That was. Yeah, but he was also like, you're such a professional.
Yeah, yeah.
You're the definition of a professional.
You should screenshot this and post it.
And then 3 days later, he's like,
I want out.
I alley-oop
dunk.
It's an alley-oop. Like, what a joke.
Yeah.
So anyway, but the Kayshon Booty one I find more interesting.
Okay.
Like, Osborne wants out, fine. Kayshon Booty I find more interesting because, right, who's he mad at?
Who's that versus?
Who's that versus,
Who
Keith?
Is he going up against
Is
here?
He upset at Drake May? He might be. Is he upset at Alex Van Pelt? That's probably the answer. And is he also taking a little shot at Jalen Polk? Like, there's a lot in those comments. He brings up the drops. He brings up the lack of targets. And, yeah, he just seems angry at a lot of people. And
I think it's
everybody down there is just a little too willing to speak their mind and take shots at somebody. And they're all taking shots at each other and pointing fingers at each other.
And it's October. You know, they've played seven games.
Right.
They are on a six-game losing streak, and it feels like it could be seven. And, like, where does it go? Like, it just continues to snowball for these guys. But, yeah, they haven't stopped. I don't know if it's – like, Booty's success has really been on two plays. One play, mainly, and that was all with Drake May.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I don't think he's –
You don't think he's taking a shot at Drake May?
Not really.
He's the one throwing the ball.
No, I know. But we also don't know, like, what are the – when he's out there – and he's gotten decent playing time, but how many is it, like, 5-yard curls? Or, like, I don't know what he's running. I haven't gone through the – I don't know what he's running every single play.
Even,
is he annoyed? Like, is it – and I'm the third read on this play?
Well,
that
that's what
thing?
I was going to say.
Yeah,
even if he's not running 5 yards down the field, he's running 20 yards down the field.
But
is
like
he the third
Henry
read?
Pop, Henry
exactly,
Pop.
Exactly.
He's like, how about you actually scheme something up for me? Like, I'm getting open, and I'm making plays, and I'm making big plays.
I'm Kayshon Booty. I got money on myself. Yeah. What are we doing?
Well, he's the only guy that has, you know, as far as, like, an average yards per catch, which is anything significant. You know, he only has eight catches. So you don't want to get crazy, but 17 yards a catch, 17.4 is far and away the team lead.
So how does Mayo deal with this? And can Mayo fix
right
any
now
of this?
It seems like he's just ignoring it, like, because it hasn't gone anywhere.
He tried to call him out for being soft. And it got worse.
No, he made,
like,
things worse.
Before the game in London, he goes, we're going to bench people and we're going to make changes.
Take that, Raekwon McMillan.
They barely made changes.
Is that it?
I think
it was Raekwon McMillan was the guy, was the poster boy.
By the way,
boy.
Their leading tackler going into that game, they're like, let's bench him. I don't know.
Sit down, Raekwon.
That'll show everybody.
We're going to make changes. They really don't.
Yeah, no.
They come out of the game, we're soft. And, like, the players are getting more and more empowered, or just they care less about the repercussions. And I get it.
Like, nobody's happy, it seems.
Okay,
like.
But this, I think, is Mayo's fault.
Yeah.
Mayo's like, say what you want. Mayo hasn't held anyone accountable. Ramondre Stevenson fumbles for four straight weeks. He's like, ball security is job security. And he continues to keep his job. He stays out there.
Right.
You can say whatever you want in the media. They'll continue to roll you out there.
Hell
and
yeah.
So why would you have any fear of repercussions? Like,
This
one, I think, is Mayo's own fault. Like, I don't blame anyone else for this other than Jerod Mayo. You opened up the door. You have no line for discipline.
No.
And it gets worse every week. This is on you. And this is why, when we talk about his job security and his survival and whether or not he'll make it through the year and whether or not they have the right guy and blah, 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 this is why I think there is a chance he doesn't get through the year.
Yeah. It's amazing to me that you could find a way to have every receiver pissed off. like, think about it. The guys who play aren't getting the ball enough. The guys who don't play want to play. Some of the guys who are playing need more snaps or whatever. Like, they don't like the communication. Like, every one of them has some sort of gripe. I mean, maybe with the exception of Kendrick Bourne, right? I keep kind of throwing him in there, but everybody else seems to have a major gripe, and I don't know how they fix that. I thought maybe the change at quarterback should have been a shot in the arm for those guys. I mean, think about it. They had two touchdown catches as a receiving group, and one of them was Henry, right? So as a wide receiver group, there was one touchdown in five games.
Mm-hmm.
Since Drake May's come in, he's been spinning the ball all around. They have five touchdown passes. Another one to Henry, right? Or no, one was to Hooper, I should say. Brissett threw one to Hooper, so it was a tight end.
Oh, right.
And then May got one to Hunter Henry. But my point still, these guys are so much more involved in the offense now, you'd think it would be kind of...
They're still complaining.
Yeah, like more. Like, they're complaining more now over the last 2 weeks. You would have thought it would have been headed in the right direction based strictly on the offense getting a little bit of an uptick and a quarterback with a little bit of life to him.
So, what do they do, Keith? The deadline is less than 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
Like, what do they do? I mean,
I think it's one of these addition by subtraction. It's not even a, like, who you bring in, because you, I mean, in the game of buyers and sellers, you're clearly a seller. Now, you don't have a lot to sell. I'm not looking at it as, ooh, maybe you can get a pick and this, that. You're probably not going to get much.
KJ Osborne, I don't think you're getting anything.
But get rid of them.
Yes.
So I think get rid of some of these guys. That way, you know, it has to be Pop, Booty, Polk, and Baker. Like, those guys have to play
so
more.
So you're getting
rid of Polk twice, but
you're
whatever.
Getting rid of Bourne as well.
I would probably get rid of Bourne as much as I like him, because right now you're like, oh, well, he's a veteran. How much have the veteran quote-unquote leaders helped to this point?
They have not.
Haven't at all.
I don't think this team has any veteran leadership. They don't have any leadership, no. And it doesn't feel like they have any veteran leadership.
So I would make my moves more to create other opportunities for guys. And right now you have six receivers, and I'm sure each week, like, who are the last two active? Who are the last two that are inactive? Like, flip a coin. But, like, let's see what you have in the young guys. We talk all the time about you got to see what you have in Drake May this year, which is obviously the most important thing. But those receivers are right there, because you in the offseason should be really aggressive in bringing in a true number one. But what does the rest of that depth chart look like?
Thank you.
You have the rest of this year to figure that out. Is Pop and Polk the guys? Great. Maybe it's not, but let's figure that out.
Right. Is Kayshon Booty a guy you want going forward? Or is he not in your room? Is Javon Baker an NFL wide receiver?
Like,
does
Osborne or Bourne, and again, I separate those two as far as like how I think they both are, but do either of those guys factor in the future of the Patriots?
No.
I would say right now, no. The other guys, maybe. The other guys I'm not 100% sure on, but let's see it.
You're getting rid of them for different reasons.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you get rid of KJ Osborne just because he's KJ Osborne,
like,
and you're a problem, and get the hell out of here.
Yep.
Okay? I don't even care if I'd cut him. I don't even need anything for him.
Yeah, you might not get anything for him.
Forget trading him.
Right.
Cut him. I don't care.
Yep.
I mean, Robert Kraft probably cares. He's got to eat the money.
Yeah,
but I don't care about that. You're trading Kendrick Bourne to free up reps in the room.
Well, and what's funny is we'll see just how high up they'll go with sending a message, because they have, in a way, sent a message when there was a disgruntled player and a guy that was sounding off in the locker room and then also on Instagram, Jalen Reagor.
Yeah.
Now, he is practice squad.
Barely, but yes,
barely on the team.
That was something they sent a message to, yeah.
But, like, see you later.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I don't give him like a ton of credit for that, but I'm just saying at least that was the guy that was doing some of the same stuff these other guys were doing, and he was gone. Now, did that change all these other guys and what they were doing? No, clearly not. But if KJ Osborne's the next one, and I'm sure if he's telling Mike Giardi and Chris Mason that he wants to be traded, I'm sure he's saying stuff here and there throughout the locker room.
In the locker room.
Wouldn't he be another guy?
In the locker room, on the record.
That's an easy one.
Sitting there at his locker, not off the record, whispering to a reporter, hey, KJ Osborne may want out.
I mean, they
on
only,
the record sitting yeah, there at correct. His locker with the whole rest of the media yep. and team around. He KJ Osborne,
right?
Not Terrell Owens.
They only have
not
like,
Randy Moss no, is demanding yeah. trades.
They have like five or six guys that you'd have to be like, oh, come on, bud. Like, we can't send a message and cut you. Everybody else, like, see you later.
As we're talking this out, you mentioned the Reagor one. I think people wanted to believe anyway. I don't think anybody really believed this, but people wanted to believe. They showed toughness with Matthew Judon. They, like, drew a line in the sand and, like, oh, we're not going to let him, you know, screw us over. Our way or the highway. And then, like, 2 weeks later, they traded him. I wonder if, looking back on that, Keith, that was the first real test for Jerod Mayo, and he failed it miserably.
Mm.
He failed it miserably. Like, Judon was out there showing him up in the middle of practice. He's sitting out there. He's on.
Well, it was a strange 48 hours, but, I mean, they did get rid of him.
They eventually
did.
But it wasn't like, again, the immediacy of, like, Randy Moss acting out and he's traded on a Monday or whatever it was.
You're
traded the next day. There's something where it's like, oh, wow, you did that, you're gone. Not, oh, yeah, Judon wanted out and they finally got around to moving him. They gave him what he wanted. There wasn't a strong enough message there.
No, they're swimming in it. And Mayo's the classic guy that's on the boat that's sinking with the holes in it. And he's like plugging one hole, three more holes pop up behind him.
That's
and then
what
he's
it
like,
feels like.
He turns around, tries to stick those two, like five more come up.
That's what it feels like. And like Matthew Judon was a test.
Yeah.
And they failed.
He's killing it this year, by the way.
And since then, is he having a good year?
No, he has 1.5 sacks.
I was going to say, I didn't think
he's not at all.
I didn't think he was doing much. I feel like the very first game he played.
Did he have a sack in the first game?
Yeah,
maybe?
Or did he like deflect a pass got intercepted? Something like that. He made a play.
I think it was both in that one.
Okay,
I think he might have.
He did make a play.
He's played in every game,
and
he's
hasn't done
anything.
A thing. And they've been on national TV a lot, and I haven't really noticed him.
Crickets.
Okay, whatever.
That's not the point. I'm just saying.
I had no problem with trading him. None. But the idea that you were gonna like stand up to a player and it was my way or the highway. Come on.
Yeah.
And they fail all of these tests, and now the players are just 1-6. We don't even know if this coach is going to be here. Bill Belichick is second-guessing him on national TV, and you know what? We don't care. So how do you get that locker room back? Is the trade deadline an opportunity to do it? And, Keith, you said they're obviously sellers. Not sure I totally agree.
Interesting.
I mean,
what do they do?
Could you add a piece a la the Bears last year, where they added Montez Sweat? They're not a very good team.
Yeah.
But they got a guy who they said, we like this player, we're going to sign him, we see him as a part of our future.
Yeah.
You know, is there a player like that? Let me give you another one.
Is there a guy that you can bring in that, I guess, we always say this with like the Red Sox, but is there a guy that has a contract? Because a lot of times when guys get traded, they're like, I'll go and then I need a brand new contract.
So I don't know if the Crafts will do that, but they should.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you get a jump on free agency. Find a player who's going to be a free agent that their team is souring on that you could get right now. Like, I'll give you another one. And it's a quarterback, and that's not what the Patriots need, but the Niners went out and got Jimmy Garoppolo.
They're
a bad team.
Yeah, right.
And they went out and got Jimmy Garoppolo. And so are there moves like that? And I never liked Jimmy G.
No.
But there are moves like that at the trade deadline where a bad team can add.
Well, we've seen three receivers just get traded.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying they all would have been perfect fits with the Patriots, but we just saw Devontae Adams, Amari Cooper, DeAndre Hopkins. Boom, 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 boom. All go to contenders. You know, Cooper Kupp's name is popping up there.
Playing tonight. Got to look at him tonight.
He's nasty. Now, he's also a little bit older and injury prone. So, again, not the perfect fit here,
but
some of those guys will move.
Would he help a young quarterback?
100% he would. And that's why, I'm with you. I could see looking into that. But I just wonder, when you're talking about somebody as good as that, how willing would you be to trade your second or third round pick, which is going to be the first pick of the second round and the first pick of the third round, and then probably have to throw in a big contract? I wonder if they're more likely to wait out the season, see what's available in the offseason, and then hopefully spend big money. I mean, there's no guarantee they do that. But
look, subtracting guys out of the receiver room, they should do that. No questions asked, especially guys who don't even want to be here, like K.J. Osborne. Like, that should be
that's
obvious.
That's an easy one.
That's an easy, easy fix. If nobody wants to trade for him, then cut his ass. Like, that should be easy.
I can answer that. Nobody's going to want to trade for him.
Okay, well, then cut him.
There's no
chance. What are you waiting? He should have already been cut. He should have been cut yesterday after those antics.
If DeAndre Hopkins went for a fifth, which I guess could become a fourth, what on earth is K.J. Osborne?
How about a conditional seventh rounder in 2030?
Fine.
How about that?
I'll take it.
What's
the conditions? Tell me what these conditions are.
He has to save another life, like he did with Nelson.
That's
from the
true. I mean, I do appreciate him for doing
me
that.
Me too.
That was
me
very
too.
Nice.
Good on you. 617-779-7937. What is their approach at the trade deadline based on this receiver room that has just a ridiculous inflated sense of self? How does Mayo deal with the challenges? You can jump in there on the phones. And how safe is Jerod Mayo? I know some feel like he'll survive the year. Keith, I think you're still in that group.
I think he will survive the year.
Although
but
you're teetering a little bit.
There are people who feel like
he's safe. How safe is Jerod Mayo? And will he pass these tests that seem to pop up daily?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Now, again, I want to be very clear. I have no idea whether the crafts would even ponder that. That, to me, would go against their nature. It would surprise me because I think that they felt so strongly about Gerard and they felt that way for a long period of time. But, you know, you'd have to see a lot to move on from a guy after 1 year. So while I never rule out anything in this league, that still would surprise me some. But the fact that these questions are coming up now, seven games into his coaching, that's not a good sign.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. That was Adam Schefter yesterday on WEEI Afternoons, weekly appearance for him. He's not completely ruling out Gerard Mayo being done. Like, no, that surprised me.
That's what's kind of crazy. I thought there'd be a little bit more like, absolutely not.
I mean, he's saying, I don't think so. But
But
he's like, I don't know. So. Like,
he's like, it's pretty bad right now.
He's like, this happens with coaches.
Yeah.
Nobody hires a coach thinking they're going to fail, and yet coaches get fired within a year.
I can't imagine that any of the recent coaches that were one and done, like Steve Wilks and Frank Reich and Urban Meyer, there's probably a few others that we could think of, had the relationship with the owner.
Yeah, you made this None point yesterday, and it's a good one. Those were all like shotgun marriages. You're hiring in the case
for all
of
different reasons too. Like Urban Meyer, like, oh, this will work. Like, no,
well, right.
No,
in the case of Urban Meyer, you're getting the shiny object. Yeah. Maybe there was even a little bit of that with Frank Reich. I don't know the Steve Wilks hire, but did they have the background and relationship, personal relationship that Kraft
and also Mayo the like the Wilks one, for example, was like they thought they had the wrong coach and quarterback, so they wanted to change both the next year. It's like Drake May is going to be back next year. Like, so you have the quarterback, so it's not like. Even if you wanted to get a coach that could get more out of Drake May, say you wanted an offensive coach, it's not like it's a brand new guy. It's already a guy here that's going to be used to him and that kind of thing. And I still think it's more the relationship. If it's just 1-15, 2-15 record, and every other week you have to put out a fire that you started based on something you said, and you have players popping off all the time, sprinkle in a couple of off-field incidents, that's definitely the recipe for a one-and-done coach. Like, that's like, all right, you ain't it. Like, we need to pull the plug now. Don't you think if Detroit could do it all over again, they would have gotten rid of Patricia earlier?
Oh,
and
yeah.
If New York could do it all over again, they would have gotten Judge earlier. Like,
all the Bill guys?
Yep.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah. Josh McDaniels.
Get rid of those Bill guys right away. I mean, McDaniels.
Well, the story was McDaniels
did not make it through year two.
And he would have gotten fired after year one, but it was a financial thing.
Uh-huh.
They're like, oh, Raiders don't have the money. Uh-huh. Now they do. They got Brady money.
Yeah, they can
do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll bring McDaniels back.
He got a real sweetheart deal.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He got in there at the ground floor. It's a good operation. It's a GameStop. They got in there at the GameStop box. But, no, if you just look at it from the outside and you ignore the Kraft-Mayo relationship, I would say, yeah, this guy definitely is a candidate to be fired after year one. I'm just going to base it on that, and that's why I would say I still think better chance than not he returns.
Have you thought at all, and I know you're more, I don't want to say bullish, but you're more in the camp that you think he's going to survive the year. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And I have started to rethink my stance a little bit, Keith. If you're going to look at replacement options for Gerard Mayo, they might need an adult in the room. You know, not just like last year I was gung-ho about get a guy who's worked with quarterbacks from one of these offenses that can get the most out of Drake May. I'm a little more open to, like, the Mike Vrabels. That's a name we get texted all the time.
Oh, yeah, people want Mike Vrabel.
I'm a little more open to that idea this offseason than I was last offseason because...
You mean the adult in the room, like, in his place or alongside?
No. In his place. Like, if you're getting rid of Jerod Mayo, I'm a little bit more on board with the...
But you just got rid of the biggest adult ever in any room.
Yeah.
Like, you moved on from Belichick, and then you have 1 year with a young, inexperienced guy, and then you're like, crap, where's Dom Capers?
Like, I mean, a little bit. I mean, Vrabel's not old.
No, he's not.
I mean, he's basically Mayo's contemporary. And so...
Well, he's older, and he has coaching experience. Well, so you would say you want somebody that has head coaching experience?
Well, I didn't care about that at all last year when they didn't do a coaching search and a hiring process. I didn't care about that at all. I would like them to interview some experienced coaches this offseason if they were going to move on from Mayo.
I would rather just be an offensive guy. I'd go back to how I felt a year ago and be like, hey, we made a mistake, and we're going to throw a bag at Ben Johnson.
The first-time head coach doesn't shake you at all watching this. I know others have been successful throughout the league, but for this team, with all of the problems they have in the locker room, that doesn't shake you at all.
I think it's more how the whole thing is set up. And this is going to sound like an excuse to Mayo and, you know, whatever. This is the job that he took, so it's not completely. But the rest of Mayo's staff, what is that? So he promotes DeMarcus Covington.
Well, Covington, that's him, though.
But that's him, but he promotes him. So you're like, all right, at least you have that ironed out.
You can't say,
what's that?
That's who he wanted as his defense. But, like,
Alex
Van Pelt, very fair.
Like, come on. Yeah. Like, that's another guy that barely has offensive coordinator experience. He's never been a head coach. You have all these guys kind of – in roles for the first time. That's not the formula. That's not how you do it. I think you can get away with young, never been a head coach before coaches if the supporting staff around them is better. Mike McDaniel made the playoffs his first 2 years. Now this year's kind of gone off kilter, but Tua's going to be back this week, so we'll see if he gets it back on board. He was a guy that had never been a head coach. Sean McVay, obviously never been a head coach. Like, these guys have jumped in there, but they had better staffs around them. And they had an area of expertise. So we come back to this, right? They had an area of expertise where McVay and McDaniel can say, we're going to fix the offense. And they did. And their offense was really good. It goes back to our office space conversation. What do you do here? Mayo doesn't have one strength. So that's devastating. So Ben Johnson, for example. Ben Johnson.
This is what I was just going to ask. Is there a name that you like?
Ben Johnson. So Ben Johnson's the offensive coordinator with the Lions. He got there was interest last year. They ended up giving him a good amount of money, I think, to stay. And maybe he'll stay again. I don't know. Not every coordinator has aspirations to be a head coach. But he'd be the type of guy that I would say, throw the money at him. He's your head coach. Surround him with a better, like maybe an experienced D coordinator, maybe a D coordinator who had been a head coach before.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times those guys are really, really good D coordinators. They get a shot at it, doesn't work, and you move on. But my thought is he would be able to get the most out of Drake May. And that's the most important thing going. And even if your defense has some lumps along the way, you feel like your offense is heading in the right direction. If he's making Jared Goff look the way he's looking, I think he could take Drake May and get him going.
37937. Guys, this is what Patriots fans wanted. Someone fun and loose. That's not necessarily what we wanted.
Well, we still wanted wins.
Now you're like, oh, crap, can we get an adult back? My God. Well, I say this all the time, but there does have to be some kind of happy medium between Belichick and Mayo. And Mayo's just too far in the other direction. There's no in-between. Between Belichick and Mayo, like, I'd like somebody who would be somewhat of a blend of that, a younger coach.
Well, it does seem like Vrabel is the blend of that.
Someone who has some command. The guy has no command of the room.
No.
None.
No.
None. No. Zero. Again, I know he worked in the corporate world at Optum. I don't know what he learned there.
Yeah.
I don't know what he learned in terms of PR and leading men and all these. I don't know what he learned there because I don't see it. What do you do?
It's not much.
There has to be somebody who can be a little bit more of an adult in the room, and you don't need to swing the pendulum all the way back to Belichick. There has to be an in-between.
But I think, let's say, hypothetically, he said a lot of the same things that he was saying, and the defense was a clear-cut top eight defense, so the top quarter of the league.
Yep.
And, you know, they were losing games, but they were kind of low-scoring. The defense was good. Similar, same record.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we'd have as much of a problem. I think it's when you look at it and you're like, all right, the one thing we kind of thought there might be some carryover from the defense. You and Covington have returned from that defense. Many of the same players. I know not all of them, Bill. Not all of them are back.
No.
But a number of them are back, but it seems like it's worse, and it's getting worse by the week. You just got carved up by the Jaguars. So that's why I think it has less to do with, you know, player coach, non-player coach in this example for me. It's just that I don't think he's doing anything well.
Yeah. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand it? What the hell is wrong with you people?
What's so hard about that? You know, the just the name Mike Vrabel specifically. I wanted nothing to do with Vrabel last offseason.
Me neither.
Now I'm kind of like,
it'd be better.
Yeah.
No, but I didn't want Vrabel either last year, and you could probably go and dig into the old archives of the old Rich Keefe show. I didn't want Vrabel, but I also didn't want a defensive guy at all. And then we had the discussion, probably a would-you-rather question, Vrabel or Mayo? Vrabel. Like, if it was just those
right,
two,
if you had
I would have taken
choose,
Vrabel.
I would have, I mean, I would have done the same. I would have done the same.
So I'm not going to do complete revisionist history. I wanted an offensive guy. I wanted an even some of the guys they were like hiring, like looking at for offensive coordinator, like Zach Robinson. I'm like, make him the head coach. Like, do that, because if the offensive coordinator is good enough, he's going to be gone in 2 years anyway.
It's true.
So just make him the head coach.
Yeah, you might as well just bring him in and give him the job.
Yes.
617-779-7937. How safe is Jerod Mayo? Will he survive the year? How's he dealing with all these latest brush fires, which seem to be popping up at just an alarming rate? Mark in Medford, get us started today. Mark.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. How are you?
So this is where we're at. You opened the show with the lead for the Patriots, and we're talking about who we getting rid of, who we trading, and is Jerod Mayo going to get fired, and are we going to bring back Bill Belichick?
Well, we didn't say that last part, but they're 1-6,
yeah,
and they're horrible.
All right. Exactly. They're 1-6. This team is totally irrelevant on the sports totem pole now in Boston. We have two other teams that are playing right now. There's concerns with the Bruins that should need to be talked about, but yet we're still talking about the 1-6 Patriots, probably might go maybe 2-15. Where is the relevancy with this?
Mark, just real quick, Mark, do you think more people are going to watch Patriots Jets on Sunday or tonight's Bruins game?
I think I know I'm going to watch tonight's
game. No, Mark, not you.
Mark,
do you think
you're a Bruins fan.
Which game will have more viewers?
Well, probably the Patriots.
100% the Patriots.
Probably
100% the Patriots.
They want to see how many they're going to lose by.
Okay, but
that's fine, Mark. It doesn't matter why they're watching. It's just more people are interested.
They're
in the Patriots. We talk about all the teams, by the way, and like we're happy to. Andrew Razor Raycroft is going to join us at 11:30. I love talking about all the teams, but to say a team's bad, why ever even talk about them? Like, I don't really get that argument.
Well, okay, they're a bad team, but they're like a train wreck that people
are
interested in. And so, yeah, if he doesn't get the news value of it, or he's just a Bruins fan and he wants to hear more Bruins
talk,
you'll get that with Razor, as Keith said, at 11:30. But, you know, I understand the frustration with the organization, but they got to figure a lot of things out.
They sure do.
That, to me, is much more interesting than what happens on the field, for sure.
Yeah.
Do you think they have any chance of stopping Breece Hall in this game?
I do not. I like Breece Hall quite a bit. Hall, two touchdowns. I like Breece Hall. I think it's 73.5 rushing yards. Take the over.
Isn't that crazy? Like, we said this early in the week. It's like,
they can't stop Tank Bigsby.
I know, but they got to, like, they have to sell out to just make sure. Put 11 guys in the box. Let Aaron Rodgers just chuck it over your heads to Devontae Adams all game. Like, they need to make a point to stop
them. Oh, like he did last time they played him? Now, it wasn't Devontae Adams, but it was everybody else on that team.
Let him do it. Let him do it and limit Breece Hall.
These are the rushing yards allowed the last five games.
Let's hear it.
Including the Jets.
Uh-huh.
133, 148, 193, 192, 171.
Nice.
On the ground.
Yeah, I don't feel good about their chances of doing it, but that's a crazy thing to say. They should be, if they were any good, they should be able to do it. So why won't he survive? It's mostly the off the field and like the PR blunders, but the on field stuff isn't good either. They can't stop the defensive guy, can't stop the run. That's a problem. 617-779-7937. You mentioned Drake May and Alex Van Pelt. That pairing, who deserves the most credit for Drake May and his development? There is a movement to give Alex Van Pelt a lot of credit. Let's get to that with your phone calls next.
You know, it's credit to, you know, these coaches here, AVP and TC. You know, they've really, they've really hammered it home. And, you know, at the same time, I think, you know, some things where some different drops that I'm taking now weren't really asked of me in college. So some of these, you know, five-step and under-center play actions, we didn't do much of those. So it probably really didn't give me a chance to show off some of the footwork stuff. So there's two ways to look at it. But, you know, credit to these guys here. I think, still working on, you know, things, you know, throughout the week. TC puts it up on the board, you know, little things throughout the week that I keep in mind. And you know, I feel like I feel comfortable back there. Maybe scrambled into one sack late in the game. I told Big Mike that was my fault, but you know, other than that, I feel good back there. I feel like I'm seeing it well. Just I'm gonna continue to get some reps.
Two things. Drake May yesterday at the podium, Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Dial us up, 617-779-7937. Number one, he takes the blame for the sack there.
Yeah, he told Big Mike.
Big
that's
Mike.
On me. It's Big on me, Mike, Big Mike.
That's on me. I'll take that one.
Yeah.
I'll eat that one.
Big Mike's like, yeah, sure.
So
even though I got smoked on that play.
So good teammate, good leadership qualities there. We'll see where that goes.
Great teammate.
And secondarily, there is a movement all of a sudden to give Alex Van Pelt all this credit for Drake May.
I'll tell you, arrow pointing up for a friend of the show, Alex Van Pelt.
Are we going to talk to him tomorrow?
The plan.
Well, that's the plan, right? Is that confirmed? I think we're going to get him tomorrow.
Maybe Gonzalez again. We'll get
Gonzalez. Coordinator Friday.
No, it should be Van Pelt. And also, I get the criticisms for Van Pelt, but Drake May has actually looked pretty good the last 2 weeks. So you going to give any of that credit to Mayo?
No. Okay. Here's where I'll give Alex Van Pelt credit. Alex Van Pelt is working with the quarterback, and the quarterback looks pretty good. I'll give him that.
Oh, there you go.
But like this idea that Drake May couldn't have played week one and Alex Van Pelt's work with him to get him ready and now you see it?
Yeah, I disagree with that, too. He should have played week one.
Thank you. That I don't buy. If you want to say Alex Van Pelt has worked with him since he was drafted and he's helping develop Drake May, fine.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, this idea that, like, in season he's putting in all this extra work, which he's not. He has games to win and things to game plan for. And I bet it's more T.C. McCartney in season than it is Alex Van Pelt. You heard Drake May single out T.C. McCartney, who, by the way, Dan Orlovsky, that's the Patriots quarterbacks coach.
Simple search away.
This idea that, like, he couldn't have started week one, he wouldn't have looked this way week one, I just think is garbage. That's where I think it goes too far.
He absolutely should have started week one, but that, you know, ship has sailed.
But Van Pelt deserves some credit. He deserves some credit.
Yeah. The offense was abysmal with Jacoby Brissett. It looked a lot better with Drake May. It's been the same coordinator play caller throughout. So you got to give him a little bit of credit for that. Not that it's perfect. Not that there's still not the first down run into the back of the line, second and 11 plays.
I mean, he's a rookie. Yeah, he's going to make mistakes. He's a quarterback. He's going to make mistakes.
No, I'm talking about the play calling. There's still issues with play calling.
Got it.
But it's definitely trending in a better direction than the defense or even the special teams is.
Couple of things. Number one, what about McAdoo? Dubs 985 in the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/
What about McAdoo?
I mean, but like it's possible he's doing some of the work with Drake May.
I guess I wouldn't rule that out. Sort of an undefined.
Number two, I like the way Terp phrased it here on Twitch. Could Drake May save Alex Van Pelt's job?
Yes. He could do both. He could get him fired or he could save his job. If he does well, now, not that this was the right decision by any means, but you remember Baker Mayfield's rookie year and things were a mess with their coaches and Hugh Jackson and everything. And then the next thing you know, Freddie Kitchens goes from quarterback coach to like coordinator to head coach.
To the head coach.
Because he was doing well with Baker Mayfield. So I think it could go that way. That'll be up to Elliot Wolf, who I think likes Van Pelt, but maybe more so Robert Kraft. At the end of the year, take a look at what the record is. Take a look at how Drake May has played. And do you think that he is getting the most out of himself in the offense with Alex Van Pelt, or do they think they can make an upgrade?
I'll say this. From a pure play-calling standpoint, I thought it was a lot better last week against Jacksonville than the week before against Houston. Now, it's an easier defense, a worse team.
Yeah.
Like, let's see. But I did feel like it was better from a play-calling standpoint. The development is hard for us to evaluate. Like, how do we really know? We can guess.
Yep.
But the play-calling I did think was better last week. Scott is in New London. Go ahead, Scott.
Scott.
Hello, Scott.
Scotty.
Says he wants to talk about Jerod Mayo and the job that he's done.
So the other thing real quick.
Not very
good. This relates to Mayo. If you end up keeping Mayo and the team is horrible, like whether Drake May plays well or not, let's say he plays well, but it's like a lot of losses, right? Can Alex Van Pelt still keep his job? Even if he might be better at his job than Mayo is at his, isn't there a scenario where Kraft says, we can't just trot it back next year, we have to do something, and then he ends up being the guy that goes, even if it's not fair?
Yeah, that's possible. Yeah. That's definitely possible. Like, I need a pound of flesh here. I can't bring everything back from a 2-15 team.
They've already had four coordinators in 4 years.
Yep.
Like, what's a fifth and five? Like, whereas I think the GM, even if you're upset with the GM, that's kind of reckless to get rid of the GM after 1 year. You don't even really see don't you think? I mean, he's been bad.
I have zero problem with getting rid of Elliot Wolf.
Yeah.
None.
All right.
I was surprised. I mean, they were hesitant to even give him the job, Keith. I mean, I will miss that.
They did interview a couple other guys, right?
Yeah, I will miss that.
Yeah,
I like that.
Wolfpack.
But I wouldn't hesitate at all to get rid of him.
Yeah, but it's just one of those things where, like, a lot of it's about, like, a rebuild, and it's about the draft, and it's like, see you later. I don't know.
Yeah. I think
it's easier to get rid of the coordinator.
Outside of Drake May, which I don't know how much drafting that was. It was the other two quarterbacks went, so you took the third guy.
Oh, I'm not giving him credit for
May. Do you like Polk? Do you like Caden Wallace? I don't know. If it's about the draft, you can fire him on that.
Yeah.
Real quick, 37937. We have not mentioned this, Keith, but we talked basically the whole morning before getting on the air. Me, you, Billy, Nick, it's all we were talking about, is the comeback on Netflix.
The Red Sox 04 doc.
37937. Did either of you watch any of the comeback yet? I'm one episode deep, but I'm really enjoying it so far. It's a three-part Netflix series on the 03-04 Red Sox-Yankees rivalry.
Awesome.
That comeback. I've seen the first two, as
Same.
Have you, correct?
Yeah, I watched two. I started too late last night. Otherwise, I would have watched all three.
Same.
It's great.
No spoilers here, but we should.
They lose in 03 and they win in 04. Sorry.
Dump it, Nick.
Sorry,
dump it.
Sorry. They trade Nomar. Oh, my God!
After spoiling a movie, you're going to go and do this?
I just couldn't help myself. I just wanted to talk about it.
But let me tell you, I'm shocked at how enjoyable I found it.
I love it.
It
brought me back to a simpler time.
Some good member berries.
Yes.
Some good new stuff in there, like good new footage.
Yeah.
They have interviews with like Grady Little that I didn't expect. Jed Hoyer's been spectacular in it. And so,
I don't know if it's a me problem or a baseball problem or both, but that was 20 years ago, and that was the height of sports.
Yeah.
There wasn't anything better than watching the Red Sox and the Yankees. Whether it was the regular season matchups, obviously the two postseason runs, that was the greatest thing. Like, you had characters and must-see players on both teams, mm-hmm. top to bottom, in the lineup, on the mound. The managers were characters. Like, everything about it was incredible. It's not like that anymore, but I don't know if it's just, I'm older or if it's baseball or you win, things change.
It was perfect timing. It was like the perfect foil.
It couldn't have been written any better.
No.
Yeah.
And, the Red Sox, I think that's all it was, and we'll never get that back.
God, that was great, though.
It can be better than it is, but we'll never get that back.
Yeah.
I just forgot. I forgot how awful Yankees fans were. Like, genuinely forgot.
Brutal.
How they were all the same, too. Like, it was just like, if you said anything to them, it's just 26 rings, 19, 18. They were so bad.
It's embarrassing.
Like, some of the footage, the blood boiling, when I see some of these just Yankee fans with two thoughts in their head, 19, 18,
useless.
And 26 rings.
Yeah, garbage.
It just
But
the
it's
worst.
Been fun, and, it's we were just – the last documentary we watched about one of the teams that we liked was the Dynasty.
Yep.
And that was not great. That was not the best thing in the world. And it was 10 hours or whatever the hell it was.
So I haven't seen –
This has been fun.
I haven't seen the third episode yet, which is going to focus on the postseason in 04.
I'm guessing it'll be
– Yankees lose.
Yeah, so –
I'm guessing it'll be the best episode.
I mean, well, let's see, though. I thought the Dynasty was only going to get better, and it got worse.
No, it got much worse.
The first episode is 2003-focused. The second episode is really focused on – going after A-Rod, spoiler alert, and trading Nomar, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming we're going to get a lot of 04, the postseason,
mm-hmm.
in the third episode.
Yeah, so we should definitely next week maybe talk about this. Give everybody a chance to watch it.
Yeah.
And then talk about
it at
length.
Watch it. Everybody gets a chance. We mm-hmm. won't spoil anything. And then next week, after we're done talking about the Patriots losing to the Jets.
Yep.
We'll get into it.
We can talk about some other Boston, New York thing.
Good, good, good.
Yeah, because
that should make Mark and Medford happy.
I agree.
Good.
There are some people that are really good in it. There are some people that I wish were in it that aren't, but we can get into all that next week.
So, good text there. We are watching.
Yeah, for sure.
Neither of us have finished, but it's honestly been spectacular. 617-779-7937. We'll continue here with all your feedback. When we come back, let's get into the Patriots and the Jets' second matchup this year. They only played a few weeks ago, and yet a lot has changed. What does it mean for the Patriots? We'll get to it next.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app